Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. He is worthy to be praised. As you are worshiping and praising, why don't you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to go to verse number 19. Matthew chapter 16. That is the confession that Peter makes of who Jesus is. You recall the setting, that is when they are in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked the question of his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They began to recount to him that some say that you are Elijah, some say that you are the prophet. Jesus then, after they've said who others say he is, Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" My brothers and sisters, it really doesn't matter what other folks are saying. You need to know Jesus for yourself. Amen. You need to be able to identify for yourself who he is. And I thank God that he doesn't leave us at a place of where we have to operate with our own understanding, but by his Spirit, he gives us revelation and truth and helps us to understand the truth of who Jesus is. And that is what happens in this text. The Spirit of God reveals to Peter that Jesus is the Son of God. He says that you are the Christ, meaning the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent by God, and you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. This was not revealed to you by flesh. This was not revealed to you by your natural wisdom, by your natural observations, but it was revealed to you because the Spirit of God opened up your eyes and allowed you to see and recognize the truth." Then Jesus made a declaration. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus wasn't building his church on Peter. No. Peter, just like you and me, he's a fallible human being, prone to mistakes, prone to error. And so Jesus wasn't building his church up on Peter, but it was upon the profession that came from Peter's mouth. The declaration of who Jesus is, for the church is built upon Jesus. The church is birthed out of who Jesus is. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is his head. So he was saying, "You're Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of truth, I will build my church." The rock of the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He says, "Upon this, I will build my church." I'm getting to verse 19. Bear with me. He says, "I will build my church." And I love this because it's whose church? Jesus's church. That's whose church it is. That's why it will stand, because it belongs to him. Amen. I need you to know that we're going to come and go. We're just passing through. We are a part of the journey of what God is doing. You and I will serve our time, and then he's going to call us home. And it is my hope that in our time serving, that we do what he has called us to do, so that those behind us can pick up the mantle and carry on what he has begun. But brothers and sisters, we're going to pass on. It is not our church, even though we belong to it, is his church. Therefore, because it is his church, it is going to stand. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." We reminded you last time that there is nothing that the enemy can do that can stop the move of God, whether it be in his institutional church or whether it be in you, the individuals that make up his church. What I need you to know is that God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? When God has your back, all right, baby, when God has your back, there is nothing that can come against you that will stop you nor defeat you. Oh, you may be slowed down for a moment. Oh, but you haven't been stopped. This is a promise from God that says that the gates of hell, that means that no matter what the enemy opens up, when you think about gates, something is being opened up. No matter what the enemy opens up in the direction of your life, that when you belong to Christ, that all of his efforts are going to be ineffective in stopping God's move in your life. Again, I reiterate, it may be hard. I'm not trying to minimize the struggles that we go through. It may be hard. You may have to cry sometime. But aren't you glad that weeping endures for the night? Aren't you glad that joy comes in the morning? That's a reminder to you and me that even though I'm weeping, it's not going to last always. It's a reminder that even though stuff comes your way, the one who has you is able to deliver you. And aren't you glad that it doesn't depend upon your strength? Oh, I'm glad it don't depend upon my strength, because what I've discovered, what I've learned is that my strength, I get weak. And sometimes I want to let go. But thanks be to God that even though I want to let go, he won't let go of me. And his strength keeps me and it holds me and it sustains me. He says, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong, because I'm leaning and depending upon him. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail, will not overcome his church. It will not stop his institutional church. It will not stop the movement of his church through the ages, and it will not stop the members of his church. Those who belong to him, you won't be stopped if you continue to walk in faith. And then in verse 19, Jesus adds, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We're talking earth and we're talking heaven. We're talking about two different places, two different locations, two different activities. And he's talking about what you do here, it'll be taken care of in the heavenlies. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Last week we said to you that Jesus is God's gift to the church. We acknowledge and we affirm that even though in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus really was given to the world for redemption. But only those who put their hope, their trust, their confidence in the fact that he came, was sent by God. He was sent from God. He came from heaven. Those who put their hope and their trust in the fact that he was crucified for the sins of mankind. He died, was buried, but on the third day was raised to life. Only those who put their hope, their trust, their confidence in those sustained facts can actually have access to Jesus. So he becomes a gift to the church. And then we said it is the Spirit-filled church that becomes a gift to the world. It is the Spirit-filled church, not just the church. It is the Spirit-filled church that becomes the gift to the world, that you and I need His Spirit living in us, working in us, operating in us, revealing truth to us. All we need the power of His Spirit to be up on us, around us, and working for us. If we try and do it in our own strength, we will fail because we cannot operate in kingdom things through our natural way of thinking. So Jesus said, I'm leaving. He said to his disciples, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you back another one who is just like me, the Holy Spirit. He's just like Jesus. He's coming back, is what Jesus said. He's coming, and he's going to make his home in you, which means that he's going to fill you up so that you then have the same power that I had. This is Jesus saying, so that while you are in the world, you will be operating on kingdom power. Amen? And so it was on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ did what he promised that he would do, and he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. He filled the believers who were gathered together in one place, and they then began to operate in the power of the Spirit of God, and the world was turned upside down by those who were once afraid and who were hiding from the rulers and authorities of that time because the Spirit of God had come and filled them, and they were never to be the same again. Brothers and sisters, you and I are never to be the way we were before. I won't go back to the way I was. I won't go back. Not after tasting of him, I won't go back. I just want more and more and more of him. So the Spirit-filled church becomes God's gift to the world because a Spirit-filled church understands the movement of God. A Spirit-filled church understands the plans of God, and a Spirit-filled church has the keys of God. Amen. 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 Listen, I want to talk to you about two keys, and then I'm going to stop because these two keys for today, it's what we've been focused on during our time of celebration and worship, and also in prayer. And they really are the keys of worship in prayer. Keys, as you know, are intended to open up doors. Amen? They open up things that are locked. And normally when someone has something of value, they put it behind a locked door. Normally. That's generally the practice, that you will lock your door, in fact, before you leave home. That's generally the practice. And most of us, when we get out of our vehicles, we'll lock our doors before we leave the proximity of that vehicle because it is something of value to us, and we want to make sure that it is protected because we understand that we live in a world where people like to take stuff that don't belong to them. Amen? Let's just be honest. The devil, even though he's been defeated, he hadn't been locked up yet. And because he hadn't been locked up, he still has the ability to go around and influence people. And he has the ability to go around and cause people to do crazy, hateful, foolish things. He is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you got stuff that ain't been locked away from him, he'll come in and he'll try to steal it. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Some of you can attest to it. Some of you have left your valuable pearls lying before swine, and they've come and they've stole your stuff. Some of you have not honored, some of us have not honored and valued what God has given us, and we've allowed it to be captured by the enemy because his desire is to steal what God gives you. God has given you peace in one area and you haven't protected your peace and you've allowed the enemy to come back and steal your peace. Mm-hmm. He has said to some of you, listen, don't worry about that sickness that's showing up in your body. Why? Because you've been healed already. He said, don't worry about that sickness, but and then he gives you a peace because your mind is on him and you're resting in his peace. But then all of a sudden, a symptom shows up. And because you are not guarding the peace, because you're not guarding the promise, because you haven't locked it away in the citadels of your heart, the enemy comes and he tries to steal your peace. You got to tell him, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm going to hang on to this. Because those things that are valuable, those things that are important, those things with limited or restricted access are placed behind locked doors. Amen? Valuable, restricted access. Not everybody can get to it. You've got to have a key to get to it. You've seen those places where restricted access. You've seen those locations where, and some of us who are curious, we'll go and see if it's really restricted. We'll go and twist the knob only to discover that, yeah, that door really is locked. And no matter how many keys I have on my ring, none of my keys actually fit that door, which means that I don't have access to whatever it is behind that door. And so keys are normally used to lock doors, and they are used to protect stuff that is both valuable or restricted access. Restricted because you've got to have special privileges. Restricted because you've got to have special training to be able to handle what's behind that door. And Jesus is saying to Peter, and he's speaking to Peter on behalf of the church. He says, based upon your professional faith, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overtake you. It will not prevail against my church. But listen, I'm also going to give you the keys to the kingdom, so that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm going to give you the keys to something that is both valuable, important, and has restricted access. Not everybody has a key. But those who are spirit-filled, walking in the authority and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, have a set of keys that will allow them to unlock doors and that will allow them to lock doors so that they can have access to the things that they need from the kingdom of God, and so that they can protect the things that have been given to them from God so that the enemy cannot come and steal it. And it is with the Spirit of God that he allows you and me to operate in this supernatural realm. And the two keys that I told you that I wanted to talk about briefly were the keys of worship in the keys of prayer. You need to understand this. As we started off our day today, we were just really focusing up on worship. Worship is this idea of where you are exalting God to his rightful place in your heart, in your mind, and with your mouth. It is exalting God. The reason I got to say in your heart and mind, because listen, God don't need you to lift him up. Can we be honest? God is going to be God even if you don't acknowledge him as God. God is going to be who he is, whether or not your mind can line up with who he is. He's still going to be God. Just because you choose not to believe it does not change the reality of who he is. But when you worship, what you're doing is you're agreeing to the revealed truth that God has allowed you to see. And you're confessing with your mouth that, yep, that is true. God is sovereign. Yes, that is true. God is awesome. Yes, that is true. God is the self-existing God. Yes, that is true. God is worthy of our honor. Yes, that is true. I'm willing to bow down and worship him. And what you're doing is allowing all of you to line up with truth. And Jesus said this, when you know the truth, you will be set free. And when you start to worship God and declare the truth about who he is, that worship begins to unlock doors. It's a key. And it begins to unlock doors. That's why I always encourage you, and I will encourage you again, as you're reading through the Word of God, you begin to look at those things that talk about the attributes of God, because worship is really affirming the attributes of God. And so as you're reading and studying, whether it be in Genesis, whether it be in Revelations, whether it be in Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, it doesn't matter whether it's the prophets. Begin to look at those scriptures that reveal the attributes of God. And when you see those attributes of God, you put those in your data bank so that then you can begin to worship him on a regular basis for what has been revealed to you. God is long-suffering. That's an attribute that you and I ought to be worshiping God about. What that means is that he's patient with crazy folk like you and me. He's patient with stubborn folks like you and me. He is patient with disobedient folks like you and me, with hard-headed folks like you and me. He is willing to endure long-suffering, willing to wait on us. That's something worthy to be worshipped for, because you and I know that there have been occasions where he has said, go right, but we chose to go left. And because God is long-suffering, because he is patient, when you went left, he said, I'm going to have you just keep going around until you get right back here where I wanted you to be. And maybe by the time you hit some of those bumps and bruises along the way, when I say go left, this time. And if you've ever been there, if you've ever understood that boy, God told me to do one thing and I did something else, but boy, he was merciful to me, then you begin to worship him in a whole new way for his mercies shown to you. So as you're going through and you're reading your word on a regular basis, don't speed read. You're not competing with anybody. If you're trying to get something for a post on Facebook, Twitter, some type of social media, go ahead and get it and then come back. Don't speed read. Why? Because God wants to speak to you and reveal to you his truth. And that means that in order for him to do that, you've got to take some time and chew upon what he's given. You got to meditate upon it. You got to ponder upon it. You got to let it work through you. And then you got to let it settle upon your heart and mind. And what you discover that as you are going about your day, God begins to show you things because he set up a hook in your mind so that you start to see different stuff that reminds you of that one attribute that he revealed. And then in the process, you begin to worship him. Begin to acknowledge and agree with what he has revealed about who he is in your heart, in your mind, and with your mouth. With your mouth, you become a worshiper. When you begin to worship him for who he is, you are unlocking doors to valuable information. Valuable resources that have been stored away just for you. Amen. That makes me want to worship right there all by itself. I don't know about you. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know about you. But my experiences in life have me needing more than what's on the inside of me. They have me needing more beyond my capacity. What I'm needing is for a supernatural influx of wisdom. There are some decisions that have to be made that I need the wisdom of God to understand that when this decision is made, what is going to be the impact? Is it in your will? I need his spirit to give me that kind of wisdom so that the decision made today will not have those repercussions tomorrow that I'll regret. And so one way you get there is through worship. You can try it. You can try it. You can try it that when you are in need of an answer, why don't you just start trying to worship him? Why don't you just start seeking him in a special and unusual way by declaring to him who he is? And what he does is he gives you what you need. Your worship begins to unlock doors to things that are just for you, valuable things that are just for you. On the other side, your worship also begins to lock you in and protect you from the hand of the enemy. As you worship God and acknowledge who he is, as you identify and agree with what has been revealed and you begin to worship him, it begins to protect you from the hand of the enemy. Y'all looking at me like, preacher, you, what you talking about? Why you making stuff up? I'm not making it up. Let me give you two stories that you're very familiar with, so I won't have to give a lot of detail, that come out of the Old Testament book of Daniel, which you know very well. The first one is about three friends who were friends of Daniel who refused to worship a created entity that the king or the ruler in authority had made at that time. He had said to them, you're going to bow down and worship this thing, and I'm going to give you one more opportunity. They were refusing to do it. He said, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. When you hear the music, bow down and worship. And they looked at him and they said, listen, we don't mean any offense to you. We've been doing whatever you wanted us to do in your kingdom. We've been serving you. We've been fulfilling our role. We've been taking care of our business. But the one thing that we can't do is worship you. And we can't worship what you made. Sorry, we can't get with you. He says, oh, you can't get with me? Do you not know who I am? They said, yeah, we know who you are. And he became offended and upset with them. And he said, I want you to heat the furnace, make it 7 times hotter than it normally is. 7 times. It's not just enough that it's already burning. It's not just enough that there is already fire, but I want you to make it 7 times hotter than how we normally keep it. He says, now, if you don't do and worship me the way I said worship me, you're going into the fire. They said, you can do what you gotta do. But I'm not going to give to you what belongs to God. Ooh, somebody need to hear this right now, because some of you feel, sometimes we feel threatened by those who are in authority, by those who are in power, and they start trying to make us do stuff that we ain't got no business doing. And because we feel threatened by them, we'll bow down and worship them because we are walking in obedience to what they say do, even though it is in opposition to what God is calling us to do. And sometimes you've got to have a boldness about you that says, listen, I'm not going to give to you what belongs to God. I'm going to worship him and him alone. And they say to the king, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to do that. They said, you can do what you want to do, but here's what we're going to be. We're going to be right here worshiping God. You can throw us into the furnace if you want to. And oh, by the way, our God has the ability to deliver us and to keep us. And just so you know, we're not worshiping him because we think he's going to do it. We're worshiping him because he is God. We're worshiping him because he is the creator. We're worshiping him because he is the sustainer. We're worshiping him because after this life has ended, I still have to stand in front of him and give account for my life. We're worshiping him because it doesn't end with this, it ends with him. And so they say, you can do what you want to do, and if we die, we die. we still worship him. And if there are comments that the king was infuriated, he was incensed, and he said, throw him in. Those who were following the king's instructions, who went to throw them in, it says that the fire was so hot that it got them. And those three Hebrew boys, as we like to call them, were tossed into the fiery furnace. Problem was, they didn't hear any screaming when the brothers went in. Yeah. You know, you would expect them to be, ah! But since there was no screaming, the king had to go over and say, wait a minute. And he looked in. And when he looked in, he said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw in three? Why do I see four? Four. Why do I see four? He said, and look at the fourth one. He looks like the son of the gods. He said, the son of man. He was saying something about the fourth one was distinct, unique, something about him. Because the fourth one, in the midst of their worship, had come and locked them in to protect them. Oh, preacher! Had come to lock them in and protect them from the fire. See, your worship sometimes will lock you in, and it will keep the enemy from, when he's launching his attacks at you, will keep the enemy from overcoming you, because you've got one around you. The angel of the Lord encamps those who fear him, who love him. He watches over them. He keeps them safe. He holds them up. And all you got to learn how to do is use your key of worship. Just worship him. Oh, I'm not even going to the other key. I'm going to pick up the other key next time. It's the key of worship. Can I give you another one? I told you I was going to give you two. Can I give you the other one now? You already know it. Since I said I was in the book of Daniel, you already know it. It's about the first pillow pet. You remember Daniel? Yeah. Daniel. Daniel, who was a worshiper. Daniel, who regularly went before God. Daniel, who was the man who said, I don't care if I have the opportunity to eat from the king's table. I'm not going to do anything to defile myself. Daniel, because he loved his God, did everything he could to worship his God on a regular basis, not just when he was in church, not just when he was in his private prayer time, but wherever Daniel went, folks knew that Daniel was a worshiper that belonged to God. Let me hit a pause. Do people know that you are a worshiper that belonged to God? Do people know that you are committed to honoring your God? No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're committed to honoring your God, that it does not matter if you see familiar faces or unfamiliar faces, you're committed to honoring your God. Do they know that you worship 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year? Regardless of where you are, it doesn't matter if you're at home, or whether you assemble with the saints, you still gonna worship because you are a worshiper. They knew that about Daniel. They knew that about Daniel. Daniel was threatened. He was threatened. Oh, the second key, by the way, is prayer. This one ties to prayer. The second key, prayer, worship and prayer. And Daniel was commanded not to pray to his God, but to pray only to the king. Pray only to the king. Well, Daniel had a habit of he would go and he would open up his window toward Jerusalem, because that was their practice. He would open up his window toward Jerusalem and he would pray. He was in keeping with that scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. It talked about when you hear from this place, he would open toward Jerusalem, directed toward Jerusalem, but he was really praying to the God who was in heaven. And everybody knew that Daniel was a prayer, and when he was threatened about praying, don't pray to any other God except for this man who thought he was a God. Daniel said, oh no, don't get it twisted. He said the same thing his friend said, I might be working for you. You may have granted me this promotion and that promotion, but don't think I'm going to start praying to you. You're confused about who you are, but I'm not confused. I know who you are. You're just a person who is put in position right now. But you just like everybody else, you're going to die and somebody else going to fill that position. And so I'm not going to surrender myself to you, a mortal being who does not have a heaven or a hell to put me in, a mortal being who does not give me life. You can't cause the oxygen to work the way it needs. I'm not going to do it. Now, all of that was in Richard's commentary. You won't actually find that in Daniel. He didn't add a... Anyway, Daniel says, I'm not going to do it. And so when it was time for prayer, Daniel went home, opened up his window, wasn't trying to hide, wasn't trying to do it in secret, opened up his window, and he began to pray to his God. And when Daniel began to pray to his God, those who wanted to hurt him and harm him went and told the king, your boy Daniel just disobeyed what you said. What you gonna do? Now, the king liked Daniel. He didn't really want to mess with Daniel, but you know how it is. They come and they're gonna like challenge the king. Now, what you gonna do? This is what your edict said. This is what you said. Now, what you gonna do? He said, well, bring Daniel to me. Bring Daniel to me. He said, Daniel, is it true? And they go through the same spiel. And then the king says, well, because this is what I've written, I've got to write it down. I've written it down. I got to follow through on it because it's been established. There's no way I can overturn it. Daniel, you refuse not to pray to your God. And so as a result of that, I'm going to have to throw you into the lion's den. The threat of that did not change Daniel's mind. It did not change Daniel's heart. It did not change Daniel's practice. He said, go ahead and do what you've got to do. Just as worship is a key that locked the three Hebrew boys in, prayer then became the key that locked Daniel in. Locked him in. Because it said they put Daniel in the lion's den, but for whatever reason, the lions had lost their appetite. Ooh, ain't that good? Come on, y'all better get excited. When you think about the God that you serve, the God that you worship, who has the ability to change the appetite of wild stuff, that when someone thinks they're setting you up, they don't realize that they're not in control, but God is in control. And so the king who is troubled by the fact that he has to throw Daniel into the lion's den, he's not able to sleep at night. And so when morning comes, he runs there and he yells out, Daniel, has your God been able to keep you? Can't you hear Daniel? What? What kind of question is that? Do you know who my God is? Daniel just goes into worship all over again. And he starts telling him about how his God sent supernatural resources, an angel to come, and he shut the lion's mouth. See, when you worship, doors are unlocked so that valuable things come to you. Angels, which are ministering spirits, move about to carry out the work of God on your behalf. When you worship, when you pray, doors are unlocked because God gives you wisdom and insight. He gives you the fortitude to stand, knows the right thing to pray for, ask for, and then he sends the answer. When you worship, You're locked in, protected, so that the hand of the enemy cannot press against you. When you pray, God protects you, so that the angel, so that the one who masquerades like an angel of light cannot come and deceive you. Those keys of worship, those keys of prayer, both open up to you valuable resources and lock you in so that you are protected. Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den, was not eaten, was not crushed, but instead he became a testimony to the power of a living God. And my brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you that those words declared by Jesus Christ when he said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church and that he will give to you and me the keys to the kingdom of heaven, they apply to us today. And I want you to know that God has given us keys that open up things in the kingdom of heaven. And those keys are used to open up doors for your benefit and for my benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom. And I just want to learn, I want you to learn to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to learn to pray with sincerity of heart so that doors can be opened up to you, so that you can take the keys that have been given to you, so that you then can become an ambassador of the kingdom of God, so that you then can become one who reconciles men who are lost and bring them back to God, so that you then can begin to bind the one who is troubling your heart, so that you can begin to use the keys that God has given you that have the power of heaven to stop the move of the devil here on earth. We've got to use our keys, and the first place you start is in worship and in prayer. In worship and in prayer. In worship and in prayer. Don't worship him like you are ashamed of him. You worship him like you know that he is who he said he is, and that he can do what he said he will do. You worship him because you need him to move on your behalf. And on behalf of those that you love, and on behalf of a fallen and broken world, he's given us the keys. Take them out of your pocket and use them. Stop sitting on them. Use them. You've got the keys. Worship him. And adore him in prayer. Amen. Why don't you just go ahead and worship him real quick while I get a sip? No, worship him. Go ahead. Worship him. Come on, no, you done worshiping him already? Hey, come on. Worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him. Yeah. Lead the way. Come on, Sister Vicky, lead the way. Come on, worship him. Worship him. Let me help you. Stand up for a second. Everybody, just stand up for a second. If you can, just stand up for a second. If you can't, now I want you to raise your hands. If you can't stand up, just stay where you are. Raise your hand. Junior, you can stand up. Stand up, Junior. Come on, raise your hands. Raise them. You're surrendering to him right now. Worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on. Come on, worship him. He's worthy. With your hands extended as you worship him. If worship opens up the door, doors that are locked, if worship opens up the door, right now, some stuff is being handed down to you. Stretch your hands out, stretch them out and worship him. Stretch him out and worship him. While you got him stretched out, just start to say hallelujah. Come on, just say it. Someone say it. Just say hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Hallelujah. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. Hallelujah. Come on. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open it. Come on. Come on, open your mouth and prepare to receive from him. Because while you're worshiping, he's looking at your heart. While you're worshiping, he's looking at your needs. While you're worshiping right now, he's searching you. Worship him, worship him. He is the God of all provision. There is no need that you have that your God cannot meet. Come on, come on, come on. Worship him, worship him, worship him. Worship him, worship him, worship him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory.